Mount St. Helens is still teasing us. Yesterday, steam rose from the volcano thousands of feet above the crater, but the cloud quickly dissipated. Geologists say the movement of a lava dome inside the crater and a series of small earthquakes could be signs that molten rock is getting ready to explode. All this new volcanic activity makes Christine Hemp recall Mount St. Helens' last major eruption.
When a mountain explodes, most people turn and run the other way. Not my father. In the spring of 1980, Mount St. Helens decided to let her voice be heard. My dad, an enthusiastic observer of natural phenomena, had been tracking her grumblings for months. All his life, things like meteor showers, tidal waves, and tornadoes attracted him. He had climbed several northwest peaks, including Rainier and Hood, which bracketed the smaller but graceful St. Helens. So when the mountain finally let loose, he hopped in his station wagon and drove straight toward it. From his camp on a logging road, he saw the immediate aftermath of the blast. A huge mushroom cloud, jet black and rising straight up for miles, he reported to me in a letter shortly afterward. Fires from the electrical storms glowed all night, and the massive overflow of the Toodle River, he said, was loaded with full-sized logs from bank to bank, the 100-degree silvery water the consistency of melted chocolate. He spent the entire week traveling around the mountain, monitoring mud flows and following the tremendous ashfall across the state. Months later, I came home from the east for a visit, and Dad said, "What do you say we beat it on down there so you can see it?" When we got closer, though, the air, hazy with forest fires, eclipsed what was left of the mountain. So we found a small airstrip and convinced a Cessna pilot to take us up for $50. My father folded his 6'4" frame into the back seat, and we buzzed above the smoke and into the trembling mouth of that crater. My mouth hung open. The once giant firs, denuded and gray from sludge, lay like pickup sticks scattered for miles. Steam still fumed in what looked like a lunar landscape. Steel bridges lay twisted far from the Cowlitz River they had spanned. The mountain, once with a profile like Mount Fuji, had collapsed into a lump of dust. 24 years later, St. Helens is now breathing, spitting, and coughing up stones again. She has something else to say. It makes me feel like my dad will call any minute and ask, "Hey, want to drive to the mountain?" The other day I found the little jar of St. Helens volcanic ash he brought me from his historic trip. It was tucked in the drawer of a bureau, the same bureau where his own ashes now sit, sealed in an elegant stoneware urn. A handful of his ashes are blowing, too, on one of his beloved northwest peaks, scattered there recently by mountaineer friends. A fitting place, I think, for the dust of a man who loved the earth's power and beauty, and who was himself a force of nature.
Commentator Christine Hemp is a poet and author of the upcoming book, The Land of Forgetting.